Tim, thanks very much for having me in what is soon to be your new wine bar here in Newcastle, but was the ANZ Bank until, when did they leave, last year, I think?
May last year, they finally closed their doors, yep.
And before that, the Union Bank. It's such a beautiful building, and this part of the ground floor, the basement, the cellar as well, you have the lease on for this venture that you're undertaking. But it is wonderful to see once again somebody making that sort of investment in reusing our beautiful, beautiful buildings.
Absolutely. That's one of the most heartwarming parts of this, is it's the right building. It's absolutely the right building. I don't think there's another one in Newcastle that would, you know, do what we want in terms of a wine bar. So, you know, it's a two sides of a mirror sort of thing.
In here, which was the main part of the old bank on the ground floor, you've got a couple of doorways here, which are absolutely beautiful with their timber architrave and their little window portholes at the top. Yeah. And I guess these sorts of features are perhaps one of the sort of things you were looking for in a property like this.
Yes. Well, a lot of the features we didn't actually find until we had the keys. So these tiles that we're standing on here, it was just these generic carpet tiles were across the whole floor, and we started pulling up tiles, and there's a beautiful mosaic tile, and we sort of go, wow. we stripped these windows. They were painted white, and now, you know, bring them back to the same timber as those doorways you're talking about. So,
and if people are wandering around, we're on the corner of Hunter and Bolton Streets, and if people are wandering around, you've actually got large images of the building in its previous incarnations. But these tiles around here are gorgeous. They're very simple, but with that beautiful Grecian keyhole key pattern around the outside. So I guess that's just saved you a bunch on flooring, hasn't
it? Absolutely, yes. But yeah, once we'd pulled up all the tiles, we'd delineated where the tiles went to. Basically, the floor plan changed. It's basically, you know, we have to keep these tiles. The furniture will mould around what we've got. So the original plans were summarily thrown into the trash can, and we based the new floor plans on just using every square inch of the tiles that were there.
Yeah, why wouldn't you want to take advantage of them? So what will you do on the floor in the middle when you do get rid of your old carpet tiles? Because they're not pretty, you don't need them.
No, go back to that basic concrete, and it'll either be an acid etch, which Murray James upstairs thinks will work extremely well, either that or polished. You do the polishing of the concrete now, which is, you know, a relatively cheap way to...
And can also look really nice.
It can look really good, yeah, exactly. Yep.
So what do you need to do in here?
Build the toilets, as we were talking about, mainly to make it... So it will make it completely disabled, friendly and accessible.
Because there is no bathroom facility on this level. They're actually on the first floor, and if you're in a wheelchair, you're not getting there.
Yes, there are toilets first floor. You can get to them from the lift in the lobby next door, but... There's three stairs up from the footpath to get to the lobby, so it's a bit of a...
Well, it's a 100-year-old building.
That's right. They certainly didn't think about anything like that back then. So,
yeah.
So from a council standpoint, building toilets and being 100% disabled-friendly, and it's got some benefits and side effects for us, because we can actually, as we talk, we can give up probably the first floor as a result of that. So you know, it actually works out well in a number of aspects. So...
Bathroom facilities over there. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a little kitchen up here.
Small kitchen. So we're very much not a restaurant. You know, we stated that from the outset. This is a small wine bar. It will do food and tap of stuff. So we have to have as much food as to satisfy people. But it's not somewhere you come and look at the menu. You look at the wine list and then, you know, go the other way around. So, but the kitchen sort of will be big enough to have two or three people and a chef with this cool room in that strong room there. So,
okay. Tell me about the wine, about having it as a wine bar. There's plenty of places in Newcastle you can go and get a glass of wine. Tim, what's going to make this different? And how do you sell that to the local residents and the council and the licensing, the liquor and gaming authority?
There are some places where you can go and get a good glass of wine. I don't think there's anywhere that's... So, you know, we will have something like 40, 50 wines by the glass, and they will be things that you don't buy in Dan Murphy's. You know, two or three of the people involved have a very, very strong passion in the wine industry, and that's really the main ingredient behind this. The building came second. You know, the group of us had been talking for some years on and off about, yeah, wine bar would be... And, you know, in Sydney and Melbourne, you can find them. They're there. So, you know... there are models that work. Does it work in Newcastle? Yeah, we think it's... We absolutely think the people are there to appreciate. And, you know, a lot of our... Once we get through the fit-out side of things, the chasing down of the really good wine and filling out the wine list, that's the... There's an awful lot of fun to be had in that. You know, we've got to taste test everything, so...
Bragger.
Exactly.
Now, I'd imagine that for our local wine industry, of course, you know, we've got the Hunter Valley, one of the premium winemaking regions of Australia right here, and our back door, one of the oldest winemaking regions in Australia as well. But it has often been a complaint of the local vignerons that here in Newcastle on the coast, we take them for granted a bit because, you know, they're just there. And if it comes from somewhere else, it, you know, has to be better.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine that there's a wonderful opportunity then for, you know, a dialogue and a relationship with our local producers as well.
Yeah, very much.
To bring them in. Yeah.
And there's a lot of... Well, particularly the boutique side of the local industry. I mean, what happened with the wine industry 10, 15 years ago with Southcorp and Foster's and a lot of rationalisation? And the shockwaves of that are still dying down 10 years later. You know, particularly
indeed, we saw a lot of the families bought out, but what we are seeing now is a lot of the families buying straight back in.
Exactly, and that's the thing. And, you know, timing-wise, this resurgence of... An emphasis on the quality of wine is perfect timing again. There's already three or four, at least a dozen or so wineries that either directly or indirectly are aware of us, and you know, so that again, that's going to be the fun bit and the easy bit. But we wanted to put that off until we knew we were going to, you know, the council and the license side of things. It's a hard road to hoe. It's a really hard road to hoe. I don't know, I have mixed feelings. That the fact that it's not easy is good in the sense that if you're not good and you're not trying to do the right thing, it is very difficult. If you are trying to do the right thing that really is going to, you know, be A, something that succeeds, and B, it adds to the fabric of Newcastle, it's good that it's hard to do it. And thankfully at this point in time it's not impossible.
No, I know what you're getting at, because if it was easy everyone would do it and you'd have cowboys come and go.
That's right, yeah. It'll be bad for everybody sort of thing. So the fact it's taking some time, it also lets us sit back and reflect a bit on the, you know, what we are going to do wine wise and food wise as well, and, you know, take a lot of feedback from a lot of people and just, you know, refine it. But and when it comes down to it, you know, the wine emphasis side of it is absolute. You know, that's the passion of all of us. So.
Well, it is a beautiful building. I can't wait to see what you do with it and what happens with it, because we have these old buildings in Newcastle, some of them sadly, including one of your neighbours just across the road there, still the post office, of course, still sadly unloved, and I guess we're waiting to see something happened there, but over on this corner, at least, life is coming back into one of our special treasures.
Yeah. The fact that, yeah, that is something that in the long term is going to be very special to me, that we took the keys when ANZ moved out. And as much as creating the wine bar is going to be a very good thing to look back on, the fact that we actually took one of the three or four buildings that are, you know, the heart and soul of the history of this era of Newcastle, and basically stopped it from, you know, if you look across the road, that post office 10 years ago when they walked out of there was gorgeous, exactly the same as this. You leave it locked up for 10 years and here we are now with all of these stupid debates. In this case here, you know, we look around here, we were the ones that preserved this. And I'll be proud of that for the rest of my days.
Tim, we're in the basement of what was the Union Bank building, and then
right.
The ANZ Bank.
52, yep.
We're in the basement, and we're in the original old vault.
Strong room.
A strong room.
So they would prepare, from what we've heard from the old tellers, carts of cash. So it was all these indentations in the floor here are the weight of all of the coins and everything. And they would prepare the... or racks of them, take them here to a false, well, this little, you know, it was a dumb waiter that would actually, so they'd roll out the cash carts to here and then put them on here and run them up to the ground floor. So this was, we're still to find out how much money they actually stored here back in the, yeah, because this is during the wars. This would actually, you know, would have been one of the couple of serious strong rooms in Newcastle.
You were saying to me just a few minutes ago that this bank was actually built at the time that BHP was establishing itself in Newcastle. So obviously, it all comes together now in my dim mind. Obviously, there was going to be a lot of money, a lot of industry. They needed to keep their money safe.
The Union Bank was a little bank just in a two-storey building, and you read all. It's was in the back of James Hannell, so as in Hannell Street and the first mayor. The back of the ship in, and they just sort of ran. And as towards the end of that time in the turn of the century, as BHP was coming into town and saying, yep, we're going to spend a whole lot of money, based two or three banks it said, OK, we're coming to Newcastle.
It's Gold Rush.
Yeah. And they knocked down the old building, the two-storey building, and in our window we've actually got a morph up of the two-storey old building overlaid with what it was then with what it is now. So yeah, knocked down in 1912... Started building in 1913, was built in finished in 1915.
What a lovely story of another one of our beautiful old buildings in Newcastle. Now, down here, of course, in this cellar area of the building, this is going to be pretty good for store and wines, I'd say.
Pretty damn good. French caves need humidity and a constant temperature, and this basically doesn't vary more than a degree. And because it's underground, it has humidity coming out, seeping out of the walls. So it's basically a French cave sitting in the middle of Newcastle, so...
Do you reckon this sort of French cave smells like that? It's probably quite similar.
Yeah, they're both bad. I wouldn't like to tell the difference between the two. But no, when you walk through the stairs, you know, it's got a very distinct... And it's not bad. Actually, it had a lot of... When we first moved in here, had a lot of standing water because the sump pump had actually seized up. And it looks like it seized up 10 or 20 years ago.
Oh,
so it's had
dear.
Sitting water the whole time. Now it's working. It's actually dried everything out. So it actually smells a whole lot better than it did a few months ago.
It just smells like the cellar of a building.
Yeah.
Now, we've had a look at the strong room. Over here in your basement as well, you have a couple of the original old safes that were used in the bank. And they were used pretty much exactly where they stand.
According to the safe moving guy, they haven't moved for a damn long time because the bottoms of them are... completely rusted out. They're actually fireproof safe, so they were for documents. The walls and the doors of the safe are filled with sand from, I've got to think what Terry said, it's from Dover. It's a mixture of chalk and sand or something. It's
You're kidding.
It's a specific compound that came out from England.
I thought it would just be solid steel or maybe, cement or something in it.
You can hear the... Tap, tap, tap. It's actually quite thin steel, and the whole lot is actually filled with that special mixture as part of preparing it. So that mixture is completely fireproof. So it'll withstand a fire for hours and hours and hours.
Okay.
Which is pretty funny when you're in a basement that's concrete and brick thinking about fires.
And occasionally has a bit of water in it.
Yeah.
Now, I said to you, so what are you going to do with these? Because they're beautiful. They've got the beautiful decorations on the doors of the company that built the safes and so on. But you can't move them.
No. We've been uphill down Dale with how do we get them up the stairs. And, they're a ton and a half each. He said the only way you're going to get them up there is to cut them into four.
No.
Put them back together. And you look at there's just no way you can do that. So
No, you can't do that. They'll just have to become a feature.
Well, that's the thing. In the big picture, that as time's gone on, we do know we will... expand. The real wine bar as we're walking in is down here. Upstairs will be very special when we get it open, but that's essentially, if you like, to make the money to do down to do the real wine bar down here. That's the plan.
I can't wait. Okay, see, your beautiful old safes will just have to be... You can have a lava lamp and an aspidistra over here.
Yes, we get 100 different opinions from 100 different people.
I bet you do.
The fit-out down here is quite... it'll be a lot of fun. But there's going to be a lot of decisions. Because there's no precedence. What do you do? You've got a 100-year-old basement that's been sitting full of bank documents for 90 years. How do you decorate that?
Was there any cash left down here?
I would say no, but we've found, what are we up to? 3 florins, a whole lot of pennies, halfpennies, about 15 shillings.
Seriously? So the Union Bank moved out, left some of the loose change behind, and the ANZ Bank never found it?
Under a false floor here that we demolished, and as I'm demolishing the floor, you sort of look down and go... That's about the size of a penny, and pick it up and sure, yep, that's a penny.
What do you need to find? It's 1930.
Every single penny we picked up and looked at it and rubbed it and said, is that 1930? No, damn.
Does that all pay off your mortgage on your wine bar?
Yeah.